right, we are going to go ahead and get started with our post-race media availabilities. We're now joined by Jeff Gordon, Vice Chairman of Hendrick Motorsports. Jeff, a lot of emotions in those last few laps. Can you go through it from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I was sitting on the 48 box, and they had a solid race, but kept themselves in it on pit road, obviously, with that number one pit stall. I think he's really, really tight most of the day, and they freed it up on that last one, and lo and behold, here he goes, taking the lead from Bubba. And I thought pretty much at that point, I didn't think anybody was going to catch him. Maybe the 19. The 19 was looking pretty good and stalking the 23. And then you just can't ever count out Kyle Larson, and especially at this place. And, you could see some of the other guys starting to struggle a little bit. And his car just doesn't fall off when he puts it up on the fence the way he does. He was coming, and I know they were talking to Alex about change his line, and he did. I think he did everything he needed to do, and unfortunately, I think he had a little bit of damage when he got in the wall a little bit earlier, and so he was just struggling trying to keep it off the wall in 3 and 4, and of course he got into it, and that's when Kyle got the lead. So great to see our guys up there battling for the win and to get a 1-2. Finish here at Homestead. Obviously, a little bit disappointed in the other guys getting some penalties there late. It took them out of the contention of being in the top 10, because I think we could have had all four there in the top 10. But still, just an exciting day to get a victory.
Well, congratulations to you and the rest of the Hendrick Motorsports team on the win. We'll go ahead and open it up to questions. We'll start up front here with Zach.
Zach Sterniolo, NASCAR.com. Jeff, Alex specifically, 5 top 10s now in 6 races to start the year. First top 5 of the season for him. But what have you seen out of him and Blake to start this season, despite coming up one spot short today? What have you seen from them early this year?
Yeah, I think this performance all weekend, to have that solid of a weekend pole, pit stops were great. They were basically in the top 5 all day long, led a bunch of laps. So, to be leading at the end contending, I mean, that does a lot for a race team. And I think we saw the momentum building with that team last year, at the end of last year. And, you just hope that they can build on that and carry that into the season. And I think they have, but you got to get the results. And so I think today was an important day for them, and I think you'll see that create quite a spark to hopefully get them on a run.
Any additional questions for Jeff? Okay, we'll go to Greg.
Thanks for coming in. Greg Engel, CupScene.com. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
And congrats.
Thank you.
Did you talk to Kyle last night? Because I saw him after that race last night, and he looked like it was the end of the world. Did you talk to him at all last night?
I purposefully did not. I actually just waited till today. I wanted to let it kind of, smooth over. But, I was just talking to him about some of the dominating runs that he's had here in the Cup car on Sunday and not get a win, overall, it was an impressive weekend, and I mean, just watching him at his craft at this track is it's like watching him at Knoxville or Eldora or something, in my opinion. And it's fun, but it doesn't guarantee wins, and you don't know when the cautions are going to come out. And as good as his car, and he is here, if he has any weakness, it's short runs, and we saw it today. And we saw it yesterday. And the 41 or he got in the back of him on that restart. But I don't even know that they win, even if that didn't happen. It's just his car's just doesn't take off as good. And some of that setup of what it takes to be good, ripping the wall on the long runs. But just doesn't guarantee the wins. But I think today made up for it. I think that he'll forget about yesterday pretty quickly after this win.
And you could put the broom away in the closet, but you want to keep it close. Any chance?
Yeah,
that...
I mean, I think, you want that for him. I think especially at a track like this, the way it started on Friday, and you'd certainly like to see him accomplish it because he's deserving of it. But it also goes to show you how hard it is to do.
Any plans for him to make another attempt in the future at a three-race sweep?
You have to ask him. I have no idea what his schedule is.
Okay, Bristol.
Oh,
okay.
There you go. Bristol.
I'll shut up then and
study. Yeah, and another one he can certainly do it in.
Thank you, man.
We'll go next to Dalton.
Hey, Jeff. Dalton Hoggs with Front Stretch. As somebody that's a part of the Hendrick Motorsports leadership, when two of your cars are fighting for the win with five laps to go, do you get more excited or nervous?
I mean, today I was just more nervous about a caution coming out than anything else. You know, this track, those two guys, the way they race, you know, hard and clean, but this track offers multiple different lanes. And so it's a lot more nerve-wracking if it's a single groove racetrack and you know, you have to kind of push and shove one another around, like what we're going to see next weekend at Martinsville. So I think that... Yeah, I wasn't worried about that part. That wasn't really on my mind. I was like, man, our chances are looking really good here to get a win regardless. You know, I saw what Alex and Blake did all day long to get themselves in that position. So, you know, I was really happy for them to have a shot at the win, and I really thought they were going to pull it off. But, you know, you just saw Larson coming hard, and at that point I was like, okay, just one of these guys, two guys bring it home, and obviously no cautions came out, so that was good.
When you were on top of the 48 pit box when he got passed by Larson,
yeah,
can you describe the emotion that you saw on top of the pit box when that happened?
Oh, I mean, listen, they're watching the data and the SMT and the TV cameras. I mean, you know, you saw he was coming, but I thought Alex did a great job moving his line around and adjusting without losing a lot of time to Kyle. And really, I feel like it was going to be really difficult for Kyle to get by him taking that line. The mainly, I'm talking about one and two. Everybody's on the wall in three and four, but one and two, there's a couple different options you can take. Kyle's one of the few that gets on the wall right away, and they talked to Alex about that, and he shifted and moved to that line, and I really think it was holding Kyle at bay. But Kyle's strength is getting into three and just ripping the wall, and Alex, you know, was giving up a little bit on entry, but gaining in the middle, and then, you know, he just maybe gained a little too much in the middle, and you know, that's when he brushed the wall. But I mean, it wasn't there wasn't a lot of emotion, you know, going on. It was just I think they're a little bit bummed, you know, when he scraped the wall and lost the lead, but I think they knew it was a really good day.
Go to Holly next, and then Dustin.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey.
Holly Kane with the NASCAR Wire Service. So your team is 1, 2, 3 in the points. All four of them are among the top six in the points. Could you just talk about what an incredibly strong start to the year?
Yeah, it really has been. What's, you know, I know we've had a couple races where all four of the cars in the top 8 or 10, and you know, it's a finicky sport because, you know, you want to get off to a good start, get into a good position in points so that you're not on your heels and playing catch up. So that part's really nice, but we've been getting beat, you know. While it's nice, you know, to have won the Daytona 500 the next 3 weeks, well, maybe take out Atlanta because I think our guys were in position to win that one. But Phoenix, they got beat, you know, and Vegas, I mean, there are a few things that kind of didn't go great there, but basically got beat there too, you know. So I think our guys really focus more on how do you bring the car with the most speed every single weekend. And then when you get to Hendrick Motorsports on Monday, even if you brought four of the fastest cars to the racetrack, one of them said mine wasn't as fast as our other. Yeah. So it's just constantly you're just chasing it, you know. And so the nice thing is when you get a start like this and you're up there in the points, you know, it's the fine tuning, and what you're chasing is you know, victories and you know, just perfection is what you're really looking at. I mean, just like the 12 car today. I mean, honestly, I think that was the car. I mean, it was ridiculous how fast they were. So I still think we're chasing right now, whether it's that 12 car or at times the 20 car. So we still have work to do, but we're going to take the win and be happy about it and be happy about where we're at in points and just look at the things we have to work on. We don't have big things to work on other than just gain a little bit more speed.
Dustin next.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Jeff, it's only just a couple of years ago that almost about this point in the season, Alex was leading the points. And so we have seen him in this type of position before, but certainly a lot of things have happened since. And I know Blake talked about felt like picking things up, you know, even stronger latter part of last season. Says, hey, once we got DQ'd, people forgot about us and we were still strong. How have you seen this journey from Alex, from that guy that was leading the points a few years ago to everything in between, to getting to a point now where he's, you know, nearly wins at maybe a track that would not normally be his best track or one you would expect?
Yeah, I think what we've worked on the most is just making sure he knows he's got the support behind him. I think they've been searching for a little bit more depth in the team. I think that if you compare them to the other, you know, Hendrick teams, Blake was sort of one of the steps, and then he's been working on, you know, car chief and the pit crew and just putting all the pieces together. And Alex and he have kind of always been on the same page and have a lot of confidence in one another. But when a team has the confidence that the organization is behind their moves and supporting them and the sponsors are there for them, it's you know, hey, take all those things off to the side. Don't worry about that. Just go and make your race cars the best you can make them. Drive the car the best you can. Prep, you know, the best you can. Mentally, physically, just be in a position to go capitalize when the day goes well. And I think that's really what I'm seeing this year in them, but also what you saw today.
And just to check, when you talk about support, I know you're talking about personnel and how they make decisions. Is as much also about all the outside noise that has been around Alex and
that
just
was mainly
the effort.
What I was meaning. Okay, but I mean, there's the support on the inside too of what do you need? What, you know, not just Alex, Blake, you know, the whole team. Go to Chad Knaus, Jeff Andrews, you know, and just say, hey, you know, what does this team need and what are they missing and how do we go get that for them, whether it's, you know, personnel, usually it's personnel. And then, but beyond that, right, yeah, it's the noise that's been around, you know, some of the things there. And you know, this is our guy and yeah, we're happy to see them doing well.
Also wanted to ask you about the 9 team. I know he had the penalty today. I think it had a penalty last week or so. So they've had some kind of penalties. Had some, you know, top tens the last couple weeks. I know Chase says, "Hey, didn't feel like Phoenix and Las Vegas were as good a runs." Where do you assess what this 9th team is going through and where they're at this point?
Yeah, and similar to the 48, I feel like they came into the season with a lot of momentum from last year as well, and started, you know, strong, meaning just you can just sense that they've got a lot of confidence and you know, come to the racetrack ready to go. And I think the last couple weeks probably were a little bit frustrating for them, and I think today is probably going to be a little bit frustrating for them too, but they're a really solid team, just a lot of depth and a lot of belief in one another. So, you know, you gotta get through the rocky times, and I think hopefully, you know, some of their better tracks and better performances. And again, it's a high standard at Hendrick, you know, and what everybody brings, like the 5 team did today, and so a lot of times you're really measuring yourself against the best that there are out there, and a lot of times that's right in your own stable. So if you're not achieving what you want to achieve, then you know you know you got to go to work, and you know that you're not meeting expectations. So those guys have high expectations, Alan, Chase, and so it's not unusual for them to get down a little bit on, hey, this isn't good enough. But I've seen them, you know, react really well and positively to that too.
We've also been now joined by our race-winning crew chief, Cliff Daniels, crew chief of the number 5 Hendrick Motorsports Chevrolet. Before we continue, do we have any final questions for Jeff?
Yes.
All right, Jeff, congratulations.
That's the way to get out of it. Good job.
Thank you.
You too.
All right, we'll continue on with Cliff. Start up front with Zach, and then start with Jordan, and then go to Zach.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Cliff, when you come to a track like Homestead where you know Larson is next level, is it put even more expectations than the high expectations you already have on your shoulders of saying, like, if we don't do well here, it's not because of our driver?
I would say, excuse me, naturally that is always kind of a, you know, a mindset going to a place like this. What we've learned to try to do well as a team is every week we have that belief of our driver and of ourselves. And so whether we're going to Martinsville, which is next week, or Homestead or Darlington or places that, you know, on the outside looking in, you would consider us really good at, we're very much a process-oriented team, and we try to hold ourselves to a high standard, a high level at which we prepare and bring that to the track every week. So, you know, this week our mindset was very much of you know, getting in our rhythm to start the year. You know, obviously it started with a couple speedways, road course, and you kind of get the season broken up. So we really wanted to find our rhythm of just the process things, not overstep. And you really saw that today. We didn't show anything flashy or special, you know, until the end of the race. We just had to stick it out and grit it out to the end, and that's what our team's capable of.
You kind of mentioned it, but the way this schedule set up this year, Daytona, Atlanta, road course, a little wonky, right? Mm-hmm. And so you see Bell and the 20 team win three races, and you look at it and say, man, we got a lot of work to do, or do you say, listen, those are, you know, different tracks. When we get to the bread and butter stuff of Phoenix, you guys are right there, obviously. You come to Las Vegas, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Do you feel like, hey, we're in the ballpark and you can't really worry about, you know, the first three races so much?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the mindset that I try to instill in the team, the winner of the Boston Marathon, 26 miles, runs 430 miles to win. So it's a sprint within a marathon. And if we build ourselves that way throughout the entire season, no matter what stretch of the season we're in, no matter who's high or who's low, we have to be willing to put in that level of effort every week. That's what carries you down the stretch. And then the cold hard truth is that last year we went into the playoffs with the most wins and the most stage points and all the things, and we still missed out on the final four. So I think now we have enough experience under our belt with how the playoffs can go and the way, you know, the regular season can play out. I mean, we led points all the way up until, I think it was Darlington last year, the regular season. We missed winning the drivers' regular championship by 1 point. So many things can change between now and then. I understand the context of your question, but it's just too early. And really, I think the guys who are going to stay on top of their game, like I hope we are just going to keep their blinders on and focus within.
Maybe I'm making too much of this. It seems like a little bit of a different win for Kyle today, and maybe you guys, where this wasn't a race where he jumped out and dominated, especially here. He didn't lead a ton of laps. It was a very workmanlike effort. Is that a fair assessment, and what kind of put into that?
Completely fair assessment that it was a workmanlike day. You know, we're always hopeful for the flashy, showy days that we know we're capable of to go lead the most laps and win both stages. But honestly, in our relationship together, in our career together as a five team and with Kyle being with us, we've seen so many different ways that these races have played out for us that we try to have that healthy vision of seeing when it's not going our way. How do we dig from behind? How do we have the belief in each other as a team? You know, our chemistry on the radio, just the way we execute the race. Tyler does a great job of staying in that mindset with us too. To me, what we showcase today is what I think we've been building for several years as a relationship, you know, thing within our team and a process thing within our team. Where even when it's not all the things that we want it to be, just go to work and stay at work, keep our head down, and try to execute towards the end of the race. And he and I were joking after the race of, you know, how many times we hit the fence, and, you know, there's times in the past where I'm like, hey, man, you know, let's back it down just a little or whatever. And we talked through it. I now know, and I think he knows where we stand together, that that's him getting his rhythm, and that's him finding the limits. The next-gen car is tough, and it can handle it. So even at the end of the race, I didn't want to distract him from what he was doing, because I knew that he was putting in the work. You know, to your point, it was a workmanlike day. I knew he was putting in the work to find his limits and to know what he was going to have to do to catch those guys and pass for the win, and he did a great job.
We've also now been joined by our race-winning driver. That's Kyle Larson, driver of the number 5 Hendrick Motorsports Chevrolet. We'll continue on with Zach.
Zach Sternillo, NASCAR.com. Congratulations on this to both of you. Cliff, I'll start with you. You talked about the chemistry right there, reminding Kyle to run his race. In the closing moments, especially as he's closing in on the 40, how important are those reminders? And Kyle, from your perspective, when you hear that on the radio, how does that impact what you're doing while you're locked in trying to chase down that car as well?
I think my previous answer may have helped answer some of that. The last thing that I would say is I've learned enough because of the communication that we've had and just talking through different scenarios in a race. I've learned enough how to not take him out of the rhythm of the space that he's in, of knowing there's a mark I've got to hit on entry. There's a line he's got to hit by the wall, set up his exit the way, you know, his whole cadence with that is that, you know, I think my role now is really just to encourage him in what he's doing. I know he's pushing. I know he's learning every lap. So I just see it to encourage him to do what makes him special.
Yeah, and for me, you know, it's calming, I think, to get those, you know, little reminders late when I'm pushing hard to close on those guys. Because, you know, 10 laps sounds like not a lot of time, but it honestly is a lot of time. So, but, you know, I think I heard that on the front stretch, and I went into one and hit the fence. So I reminded myself when I got to exit two, I'm like, okay, I'm way faster than these guys. Let's just calm down. But, yeah, it's just challenging. You know, that's as long of a run as you really get, you know, at Homestead. So we were all kind of struggling and sliding around, and you're still trying to run inches off the wall to maximize your grip and lap time and all that. So it's tough, but, you know, I've got a lot of confidence, you know, in Cliff and everybody here at the track, as well as at the, you know, shop during the race, that, you know, they've got a plan as well as, you know, my plan goes along, and, you know, we can kind of all stay on track together.
Before we continue on, do we have any final questions for Cliff? Okay, we'll go to Deb.
Deb Williams, Auto Week. Congratulations to both of you. Cliff, what was the damage that was done to the car when Josh Berry hit him on pit road during the caution period?
Yeah, good question. Basically, there's a vent in front of the exhaust exit on the rocker panel, and the vent was knocked out, and even more of a hole was kind of opened up there, which I knew was going to be bad for downforce. I knew it was going to be bad for speed. To be honest, I was probably a little late on my end in processing the pictures that I was getting and kind of talking through what our plan of attack could be to fix it. So when I was calling us in to pit to fix it, we were coming to one to go to choose, and knew that was really going to put us way behind the field coming to the green. So elected just to take the chance of keeping the track position and keeping the car out there. Talking to Kyle a little bit after the race, I think we were down a tick on performance because of that. Ultimately, this next-gen car is a pretty tough machine overall. We see it all the time, especially with guys being able to drag the wall today, keep going. You don't see a lot of flat tires. So fortunate for us that the hole wasn't worse, and we were able to keep going through it.
How large was the hole?
Probably,
baseball size.
I don't know, 6 inches tall, 10 inches long. It's pretty big.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we'll go next to Holly.
Holly Kane with the NASCAR Wire Service. Kyle, if you were to be real honest with us, mere mortals, when you have a situation happen like yesterday, when you clearly dominated a race and didn't win it, do you come in today even more motivated? I know you're highly motivated every week, every race, but did you kind of come in today like, I am going to win this race? I mean,
definitely extra motivated. And given, you know, past history, I just wanted to take the green flag and kick everybody's ass today, honestly. Like, I wanted to get to the lead early and just dominate like I was yesterday, but then the green flag flew, and it was like the opposite. I was going backwards and, you know, getting pissed off in the helmet and just frustrated, but, you know, just figured that that day was not going to go like that. So then, yeah, you forget about all that. You know, I think just leading into the race, that's what your thought process is, but then, you know, after 10 laps or so, I quickly forgot about the wanting to kick everybody's ass all race long, and I was just like, all right, let's try and work hard at this and you know, get a win, and that's kind of how the race played out. So, yeah, I mean, I'm proud of myself for kind of overcoming that immature mindset, you know, before the race, and, you know, just digging down deep to stay in it, because it wasn't a typical Homestead for me. You know, I was never able to get to lead until it really mattered, where typically, you know, I lead all the laps that don't matter, except for the last one. So, yeah, just you're proud that you know, we're able to keep our heads in it today.
All right, before we continue, we'll go ahead and release Cliff. Congratulations, Cliff.
Thank you.
We'll continue on with Kyle. Questions for Kyle? Okay, we'll go to Brian.
Brian Twine, Bedsworth Media Group. Kyle, on Wednesday, I asked you what your expectations were for this race being in the spring as opposed to being in the fall. How would you assess the way the race progressed and whether or not the actual time change did affect the racing on track?
I don't really think that it affected it at all. I feel like this track is so abrasive that it didn't really seem much different. The only thing that seemed different to me was we had more cloud cover during the race. And there was runs early in the race when there wasn't as much cloud cover, and it played out like normal Homestead. And then I would say the last third of the race, there was quite a bit of cloud cover. So the pace was much faster, it seemed, in the car. More people were kind of making fast entries into one work than typical in the fall. So, but temperatures and all that were relatively the same. So I really just think the cloud cover that we had today was the biggest factor.
Go to Dalton.
Kyle, Dalton Hopkins with Front Stretch. I know you said that what happened yesterday motivated you, but now after that you've won, does it sting a little bit more knowing that if it weren't for what happened yesterday, you would have gotten the sweep done?
I mean, maybe as I go home tonight and lay down and think about the week more, but honestly right now I don't think about it at all. I wasn't thinking about that as I took the lead. Anything like that. So, I was pretty, disappointed all of, the time after the race yesterday. But I woke up this morning feeling, for the most part, fine. Motivated, but fine. Kind of over, the finish of yesterday. So, I'm sure when I lay down tonight, I'll probably think about it. But I'm just happy to get a Cup Series win. They're so tough to get.
And can you take me through that last green flag run and for? I assume all of us who have never driven a race car before, can you describe how hard it is to conserve your tires when they wear out so much enough to where you were faster than everyone that was in front of you at the end?
Yeah, it's a challenge. It's a challenge here, because I feel like for me and what makes me good on the long runs, I don't know if it would make anybody else good on long runs, but just running the wall at both ends of the track. So it's like when the pace is fast, I can't really do that in one and two because it's such, far distance on entry, and they could be, six car lengths back of me, and if I go up there, they might pass me. So it's like I got to manage the gaps behind me, go to the top when I feel like I have that room to, and that's kind of what I was doing. I figured I wasn't going to get a good restart, but I was happy to net out third, and I was like, all right, cool, I can protect from the 19 behind me and run here. And, I know I'm going to be better than them if this run goes green. And then I hit the wall. 19 got by me. So I was like, shoot, that's just going to make things tougher. And then I did it again later, and the 11 got to my inside, and I had to battle really hard to hold him off. And that was kind of the pivotal, moment of getting the win for me. I think if Denny gets by me, it's over. I don't win. Maybe I can get, who knows, back to the top three or something, but it was going to be challenging. Held him off, and then I got a good enough gap behind him and put some decent laps together where I stretched out on him, and about that same time I could see that they were really starting to come back to me quickly. So I figured they were starting to get really loose in front of me, and just had to kind of stay committed to what I was doing. And the 19 had moved up to try and figure out my line in one and two, but he was really slow doing it, so I passed him easily. And then Bubba looked really loose in front of me, got a big run on him down the back, and was more aggressive with the move into three than I was when I was battling for the lead with him the run before. So yeah, passed him, and then I figured I could get by Alex when I got to him, he just got into the wall. So they were all kind of struggling. They looked really loose in front of me, and so was I, but I think I just had a little bit more tire than they did.
We'll go to David and then back to Holly.
David Neal, Miami Herald. I know you said you woke up this morning fine. What are some of the mental processes you go through, if there are any, after something like that yesterday to wake up fine today?
I don't know. I mean, it's probably not the same every time, but it was just Owen and I here this weekend. So, got to go back the bus. He was fishing when I got back there, so that was kind of relaxing. Just the night, the weather was great. The sunset was pretty. I mean, it's about like this time of night last night, so it was really relaxing. And just the infield here kind of feels like you're camping. So that was really nice. And then there was lots of racing to watch on TV. So I watched the Outlaws. I watched High Limit. I watched something else. He was playing some video games, so just got my mind off of the result of that finish yesterday. So yeah, but like I said, it's a little different every time. If the family was here, the whole family would be chaos, and I would probably be super frustrated because I don't really want to talk to anybody after a result that doesn't go your way. So it was nice that it was just Owen and I and didn't have to listen to too much noise.
Go to Holly, back to Holly.
Kyle, I just wanted to ask you about the team. You guys are 1, 2, 3 in the standings. Chase is 6, so 4 of you in the top 6. Does this feel like you guys are, I know it's early, but I mean, does it feel like you guys are putting some stuff out there and you've got a really great vibe going on?
Yeah, it's very impressive to have 4 in the top 6. That's extremely tough to do. So although it's early in the year, I still think that's something to be proud of at HMS. So yeah, everybody works really hard. You're always constantly trying to get better and evolve your race cars and evolve your team and the processes. But I think all 4 teams do have a good process, and we all work really well together. And outside of HMS too, the key partners, they're very helpful in getting to work with them and all that. But you want to be better. And although, I feel like we're for the top 6, I don't think that any of us are like the best car currently. So there's still a lot of work to do to get to where we need to be, and just trying to get better each and every week.
Any final questions for Kyle? Okay, we'll close with Deb.
Thank you, Deb Williams with Auto Week. With this victory, Kyle, this is your 14th in the current Cup car. What is it that you think about this current Cup car fits your driving style and allows you to do that?
I don't know. I think if we would still have the 2021 car, I'd have about 50 Cup wins right now. So I think switching to this car has limited us from winning. So I don't know. But I think just being with a good team and being able to adapt to new things is something you try to pride yourself on, and I think that's an area where the 5 team really excels, and the 24 as well. I think we probably share or top 2 in most next gen wins. So young, adaptable drivers and teams. So yeah, they're just they're difficult cars to drive, though. You have to run really hard, and I think that probably benefits a guy like myself.
Kyle, congratulations.
Thanks.